The state of leadership in the workplace prioritizes getting things done at the expense of other goals, leading to short-term gains and compromising long-term growth. Leaders and their teams are struggling to balance a desire for immediate results with the need to build cohesive, effective teams. In the last episode, we looked at how a top and bottom line focus creates an unhealthy view of making and hiding mistakes. Team members are scared. They don't speak up, so there's a vacuum of insight. Leaders don't get the critical information they need to lead and make decisions. Turnover is high because of low employee morale. How can leaders lead differently and build a culture that prioritizes learning and development for long-term sustained growth? This is Growth Through Learning, a six-part series that anchors employee learning and team development into the hands of leaders. It bridges the gap between formal training and learning that's embedded in the DNA of teams. I'm Hannah Brown. This is episode 2. On today's episode, we'll focus on the perspective of leaders who focus on output, getting results, above all other priorities. So what does it look like when leaders prioritize business results and performance? In my work with leaders and in my research for my book, Into the Hands of Leaders, Employee Growth Through Learning, control, ego, and lack of time emerged as challenges that leaders face in an output-focused organization. The problem is that these behaviors lead to burnout for the leaders and dissatisfaction for employees. Leaders become burnt out because they hold on to control and double down on trying to be the expert. They think, I'm supposed to have the technical skills to manage this successfully, but I don't. What kind of leader am I if I can't do this? Successful employees are regularly promoted into management roles because of their technical expertise. If leaders carry that need to be the expert into their leadership, they cling to control. Their expert identity craves perfection, to be better and just as capable as a leader as they were as an individual contributor. Yet they don't have full control because their team members have direct control over their work. So the leader feels more out of control, is less inclined to invite team members to collaborate, and often feels like an imposter. Christy Billen is the Director of Small Business Lending Products at Farm Credit Canada. We talked about her evolution as a leader and the critical shift she made over her leadership journey from having more of a command and control style to a guide and empower style.
In the early days of my leadership journey, I mean, you're stepping into a new role, you have really high expectations for yourself, and you feel like, you know, maybe you have something to prove.
Christy's transition into leading a team happened when she moved from being a team member to leading a team. Since she had been an individual contributor, she knew the work inside and out and easily slipped into doing mode. She had high expectations of herself and remembered feeling like she had something to prove. She felt like she needed to be in control and had her hands actively in the day-to-day work of her team. She was busy advising her team, solving their problems, and stepping in to do the work.
There's something around control, right? And that telling style, when it boils down to it, to me, it comes back to control and feeling like you need to have your hands on everything. And, you know, the only way to do that, I think, is by telling and being really on top and almost like micromanaging the work of the team. And in my case, this was the truth. Like, I kind of grew up in that team and then was elevated to lead that team. And so I was very familiar with the work, with the project streams, with the initiatives that were of priority for the team. And so it was very easy, actually, to flip back into doing mode and think about how I would do it and be really explicit in telling, like, this is how it needs to be done and this is what we're going to do, right? When I started to reflect on how things were going, right, I felt very busy and overwhelmed. And the root of that was, like, because really I was causing this issue myself. And what it boiled down to is, like, the team actually wasn't empowered to operate without me there, right? Like, they didn't have the confidence or didn't feel like they had the power or authority to make those decisions. And so everything had to kind of run up to me.
Christy's micromanaging approach had unintended consequences. The high stress she experienced was mirrored in her team, who were not empowered to operate without her. They lacked the power and authority to make decisions, and Christy became a bottleneck. Like Christy, Christine Helgerman also had challenges with control early on. Christine is the director at St. John's Christian Nursery School in Waterloo, Ontario.
So I think when I started, leadership felt very controlled. So I was really like trying to control not only the scenario, but the outcomes, the direction, and kind of doing that by having an agenda and making sure that we're following that agenda. When I would do some leadership things 20 years ago, I wanted to get from point A to point B and on the same trajectory that I had it visioned as, right? So it's like, I want to do it this way and this is how we're going to do it. And so it's easy to coerce people to kind of follow along.
Leaders need to replace control over doing the work with control over how they coach and develop their employees so the employees can do the work. We'll discuss how to do this in a future episode, but for now, know that the struggle to balance doing the work versus managing others doing the work isn't limited to new managers. In the last episode, we briefly touched on ego and having a hero identity. Control ties deeply into ego. As Christine says,
it kind of goes back to that whole thing, right? Like that power. It's a bit of a power when you hold all the information, you hold all the answers.
Moving from control to being the heart or even the mind of an organization involves a change of identity. The ego may resist this when it's driving the leader's actions. In the first episode, we heard from Len Schweitzer, Associate Director, Partnerships and External Relations at Michigan Technological University. He talked about how leaders need to listen to adapt. Today, Len brings us a perspective about how when leaders drop their ego, they surround themselves with team members who have the expertise, knowledge, and skills to create a well-rounded team.
You know, you can almost blame the education system for setting us up that way. You spend all this time in school becoming an engineer and taking all these tests and having to show you're smart. Then you hit the workplace and you think it's the same. And it starts off that way. A lot of people, it takes them a long time to realize that, you know, you don't have to just continue to prove yourself like that. The collective mind is far more powerful than the individual mind. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing, I was at a conference and I heard there was a gentleman who had started a company. You know, he was like an MIT grad, robotics engineer. He made underwater welding robots, building offshore rigs, super smart guy. And one day he said, you know, he started this company, built these robots. And he said, one day he's like, you know, I cannot be the center of the universe for this. I know there's people that have better ideas than me. And he talks about the transition of not being the one they go to first. So the classic, you know, I don't even know if this is a phrase I use all the time. I think others do too, but, you know, leaders speak last. He right. tried to come up with that, live that mentality where, you know, to try to get people from always coming to him for the answers because he's the smart one. He's the one that's always saved the day so that he realized they probably have better ideas. You kind of got to step down off your pedestal. So it's an ego thing.
The interplay between being curious, which leads to empathy, and an overall caring approach to leading others can only be accomplished when the ego is kept in check. I chatted with Adam Stevens, Director of Marketing and Community Engagement at the Humane Society of Kitchener-Waterloo and Stratford-Perth, about how caring for employees as people is at the core of his leadership approach.
My feeling was that in order to be able to be an effective leader, that one of the components that you would need to have is you would need to be able to have proverbially walked a mile in the other person's shoes, and that better facilitates, you know, good conversation, good communication, you know, better project management, all of those kinds of things, empathy, all of that.
I asked Adam if he was always an empathetic leader, and he shared a pivotal point in his leadership journey that shaped how he leads now.
I worked with this absolutely incredibly talented individual. She was a front-end web developer that I worked with. So I hired her, you know, I went through that entire process. And then really what was interesting with the experience was I had sort of gone in at that point and had very wrongly made this assumption that I knew best what we needed to do with our company's website. And then it was so abundantly evident that she was the knowledge expert in this situation. And so I remember we were having this conversation where, and it was absolutely my fault, in our one-on-one, she was very passionate about what her field of expertise was. And so I was talking about, well, we should go this way on the website. And she was, in that typical programmer way, was like, absolutely not. And here's all the reasons why. And before you know it, she's up on the whiteboard and she's drawing out diagrams why this whole thing is going to collapse in upon itself. And I'm having this moment where I'm like, I'm watching her defend her effectively a thesis. And then I'm seeing what she's putting up. And I'm having this moment where I'm thinking, she's absolutely right. This would have been catastrophic if we had gone this way. And then it was that wonderful moment where I kind of realized, you hire the people who are smarter than you. and you trust them. Like, if you trust them enough to hire them, then trust them through that process of working with them.
Adam's approach would have been catastrophic. It took courage for him to realize his limitations, be open to his employee's perspective, and value her contribution. He could have stood firm in his conviction that he was the expert in doing the work. Or he could have unnecessarily inserted himself into directing the solution so he could maintain a hero identity and feel a sense of worth and accomplishment for his contribution to solving the issue.
I think that it's that fear of failure. This is a common thing that I've noticed in first-time managers, and I did it myself, where admittedly, like my first management role, I was a micromanager for sure. And so I held on to those reins so tight because I felt like I was responsible for every single aspect of everything that I'd been entrusted with.
Adam realized the person he hired was smarter than he was. He needed to let go of his ego and control, not be the expert, and step aside to allow his team member to shine. As long as leaders hold on to their identity as experts and capable doers, their egos remain intact. This prevents them from forming a new identity as leaders who coach and develop others. The ego needs a new source of satisfaction, that of supporting others. When leaders embrace a coach identity, they can let go of their need to control. They can let go of the stress and feelings of inadequacy and embrace coaching and developing employees to achieve results through others. The last challenge that emerged in my book research and that I hear universally in my work with leaders is lack of time. From executives to middle managers to frontline supervisors, everyone struggles with not having enough time to get their work done and accomplish their objectives. I challenge this narrative for two reasons. First, in our fast-paced, ever-changing workplaces, there will never be enough time. I also believe our lack of time is more about priorities than time. If you're struggling with a lack of time and your furnace breaks down in the dead of winter, or your child is sick, you somehow find the time to call and wait for the technician or take your child to the doctor. More time doesn't suddenly appear in your day. You automatically rearrange your priorities to make room for the technician or the doctor's visit. When we truly need time, we find it. Let's hear from Chantal McIntyre, talent strategist, workplace consultant, and leadership coach, who you might remember from episode one. Chantal describes this lack of time being exacerbated by a leader's need for control and by holding on to their hero identity.
So the leader with the fixed mindset who doesn't make time for learning themselves and is only focused on results will typically just speed by it and not deem it as important. So they're the ones who I would say are not willing to make the time, they don't have the patience, or they don't want to learn the skill to teach or mentor or coach someone else into developing into a leader. And they're short-term thinkers. Okay, well, in the short term, I'm going to focus on myself and my bonus and how to get that and forget everything else. So I would say they're the least successful in terms of growing other leaders.
For a leader to shift from doing to leading, they need the courage and internal resolve to be a leader who leads through learning, coaching, and developing their employees. They need to let go of controlling the details of the work and discard the hero identity. Leaders need to reprioritize their time to make space for developing others so their teams can be more capable and higher performing. When this happens, leaders can focus more on strategic work. Chantel outlines some of the benefits of this approach.
The data points like net promoter score, high retention rate. So organizations and leaders that prioritize the development of others will see reduced turnover for sure. Mm-hmm. And their net promoter score will be higher in terms yeah. of attracting talent. In terms of employee engagement, think about if leaders are investing in employee development, their job satisfaction will be higher. That will lead to higher engagement scores. And then think about adaptability. So if leaders are actually taking the time to help their employees adapt, whether it's to marketplace changes, industry changes, they'll have a more skilled and flexible workforce. Succession planning is a big one. So because retention is critical right now, a lot of leaders are looking at, you know, I can increase productivity and I won't have to spend as much time recruiting, which is painful for them. And then, of course, innovation. So look at the learning in terms of we're going to expose each other to new ideas. Our team is going to be our competitive advantage kind of strength. And then the reputation of the actual organization increases. If they become known for developing employees, they're going to be able to attract top talent way easier. So I'd say those are the significant benefits I've seen.
When leading with a focus on output, leaders become singularly focused on getting results at the expense of other priorities, such as learning, building relationships, and creating downtime to decompress and de-stress. They achieve results in the short term, but at the expense of long-term sustained growth. Leaders and employees alike feel like hamsters in a wheel, trying to keep up and afraid a misstep is going to send them flying. Now that we've looked at the leader's perspective, what do employees need to thrive? To fully understand how to create a team culture of learning, we need to also consider the employee's perspective, which we'll uncover on the next episode.
The stagnation is exactly those individuals that are, with time, they're there, they're producing, but are they evolving? Are they developing? Are they growing?
For a more in-depth analysis of why we need growth through learning instead of short-term results, check out my book, Into the Hands of Leaders, Employee Growth Through Learning, published by Hambone Publishing in November 2024. To learn more about developing how to nurture a learning mindset and fostering a team culture of learning, head to my website, hannahbrown.co. Thanks to Mary Chan and Katie Pagich of Organized Sound Productions, who produced, sound designed, and edited this podcast. And special thanks to Adam Stevens, Chantal McIntyre, Christy Billen, Christine Helgerman, and Len Schweitzer, the voices you heard on the show. I'm Hannah Brown, and until next time, remember organizations that grow, grow their people.